Good morning, church. It is great to be together on St. Patrick's Day. And I know we have a wonderful day ahead of us, even with our, I know we'll announce this, but of course we have a wedding today. It's going to be awesome. Bill and Allison's wedding. I also just on a personal note, I wanted to thank you all again. And many of you were there for me and have continued to be there for me and my family over the last couple of weeks. As many of you know, my grandmother passed away. So it has been just so refreshing to see the love of Christ lived out in our church, lived out in our congregation. And so thank you. Thank you so much for that. It means the world. I think, as difficult as that time has been, and as challenging as it has been, it's provided, you guys can hear me okay? It's cutting in and out? All right. To the old school method. There we go. As I said, as difficult as that has been, It's really provided some incredible opportunities to see God's hand at work. And to see God use me and to be used by Him during this time. You know, I think about the times that my grandmother was lying in the hospital bed and she was nervous and about to go into surgery. And she kept asking Mom, she's like, where's TJ? Where is he? He needs to be here. He needs to come and sit with me. And so it's like my mom said, it's like, TJ, it was like when you walked in the door, it was like she just felt so at peace. All the worrying that she had was just gone and taken away. And it was so humbling to be able to see that. And I feel like it was able to be that way because, one, the relationship that she and I have, and also, because I think in many ways she saw me as a representative of Jesus walking in the door to be there for her during her time of need. And through that time, we were able to have a great conversation, she and I, but also with my brother and my sister and many of their friends. On two occasions, we got to sitting and talking about truth and the nature of truth and God's truth. And so they're sitting there, we're sitting there like, well, how do we even, why is truth even important to our lives? And, you know, of course, we understand that because our whole society is based on the idea that truth is knowable. For example, do you believe in laws? Do you believe that our government should have laws and that we can enforce those laws? If you do, then you believe that we can actually discover what the truth is of a situation. And, you know, it was great being able to sit there and talk, but we ended up getting into this great, nice discussion about the idea of there being this like an absolute truth. And I kept sharing with them, I'm like, guys, you don't understand. If there is no God, and my brother, sister, and many of their friends are atheists or agnostic, meaning that either they don't believe in a God or they believe that there could be something out there, they just don't know what it is, don't know how to define it. And so we're sitting there and I'm talking, I'm like, if there is no God, then there is no real source of truth. And people can literally believe and do whatever they want, and it would be very difficult for you to say that that is absolutely wrong, because then whatever is true just becomes whatever who has the most power says. And that is not right how our world works. Even the fact that there is a God, like could you imagine if that was the case? It would be chaos. And you do see that because there are sometimes in other cultures, right? And I'm sure there are things in our culture too that people look at and say, that's crazy. I can't believe that they do that. And so we look to God as this source of truth. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We are going to be talking about shining in truth. And this month, our idea is we are going to talk about different attributes of who God is. And then as we're talking about who God is, we're going to talk about, okay, who has God called us to be because of that truth? And so truth is one of God's basic attributes. If you could turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verses 17 to 19. And I absolutely adore these verses. But it says in Hebrews 6, verse 17 to 19, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, that's us, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. And so here, we notice a couple things that the scriptures are saying about God's nature and about why we need truth. You know, it says here that the truth set before us is an anchor for our soul. It's an anchor for our soul. Could you imagine if God could lie to you, how crazy this world would be? Now, I know many of you may hear this and say, I feel like God has lied to me. No, God has not lied to you. Chances are you have believed something that was not true. But that does not mean that God promised you that thing. That does not mean that. And so, I mean, if we lived in a universe where God, like we just had a God that messed with people and played pranks and said, oh, it's like this, but then actually, you know, did things the other way, that's not a good thing, right? Things would be chaos. Truth anchors us. It locates us. It helps us to know where we are. It helps us to know how we fit into society, how you and I should interact, and it reveals the path of where we need to go from where we are right now. And that's why truth brings hope. Because when we face truth, we know where God is trying to lead us. We know that God, as the source of all truth, is a good God. And if God is the source of all truth and God is a good God, then it means that we do not ever need to fear the truth. Because anything that comes from God is good. Anything that comes from God is good. You know, truth, though, means nothing without trust. You know, most of what you've learned in your life and have accepted as true, you believe it to be true because you trust the source that you got it from. Anyone who has gone to school, gotten a degree, you trust your teachers are telling you the truth. You trust that your parents actually are looking out for your best interests, right? Sort of. Sometimes. Amen? Teens, I want to actually hear from you here. I know you're all in the back on your phones, but come on, guys. Yes, right? We trust that our parents are looking out for us. Those things that we accept, we trust them because we know the source that they came from. And so when it comes to God, God is the source of all truth. He has it all. But sometimes we don't have the trust in him, the faith in him, to accept that truth and to believe that truth. And we're going to come back to that idea a little bit later as we talk about why sometimes we might reject truth. But as God's people, as God's church, you have been called to be beacons of truth here on earth. As God is truth, you emulate him. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, verses 14 and 15, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. As God is the hope of the world, so we are the hope of the world and light of the world. And as God has, that means that God has sent you here to be an example of how we should conduct ourselves and as an example of how people outside of the church should learn how to conduct themselves. You are God's compass here on the earth. You are God's compass pointing people back to absolute truth. Now, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? That is so, to me, that is so empowering that God has tasked you with revealing the truth. Now, we have another word for it, and Jim touched on it last week a little bit. To reveal the truth to the people around us, that's evangelism. That's evangelism, guys. And so you have the power to bring truth, to bring revelations to the people around you that will transform their lives and their eternal destiny. And I know that sometimes that can seem like a tall task, but the good part in being a beacon of truth is that you do not need to have all the answers, right? God is the source of all truth. We try to live out the truth as best we can, but our job in being lights to this world is just pointing people back to the fact that God has all the answers. And that should fill you at peace, right? I know sometimes we're worried that sometimes we're going to talk to people about God and we're going to say, okay, they're going to ask me something that I do not know how to answer. And I've never thought about, and so we worry and we wonder and we say, well, what if I don't know what to say? What if they don't know? What if they think that I'm stupid or God doesn't actually have all the answers? Very simply, you can just say, well, that's a good question. I don't have all the answers, but my God does. And you see that throughout the scriptures. You see that example in men like Joseph who said, I can't interpret your dreams, but the God I serve can. I don't know why this is happening to you right now, but the God I serve does. And if you want, I will teach you how to seek him. I will teach you how to dig deeper into his word. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, that's one of the things when we ask people, hey, would you like to get together and dig deeper into the Bible? We are trying to point you towards the truth of our God. And so we point people to God in our prayers, in our actions, with our words. But the biggest challenge that faces us as a church is that if we are going to bring the truth to others, we need to make sure that we are embodying it ourselves. And so this is really the heart of our message today, as we're going to be talking about here. If you could turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to talk a little bit about why we reject the truth when it's presented to us. What goes on in our hearts, in our minds, as we mentioned before, if God is a good God and everything that comes from God is good, then we should readily, theoretically, right? We should always embrace truth when it's given to us. But we don't. At least I don't. Maybe there is someone in here who's just so humble, so giving. I don't know. It could be our elder Kevin. It could not be. Who knows? Who knows? But we fight against the truth. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." You know, you've heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss, right? Why do people, why does that phrase even exist? It operates under the assumption that what you don't know can't hurt you. All right, just think about that for a second. Think about your life. Can what you don't know hurt you? Yes, absolutely. You know, I like to think about it as this. Imagine you have been given a million-piece puzzle. And they said, okay, I want you to sit there and try to figure out how to put this puzzle together. Here's the catch. I lost the box. Why is the box important? It shows you what you're supposed to be putting together, right? Now, that's crazy to me that there are people who live their lives trying to figure out how to put all the pieces together without knowing what the picture is supposed to look like. And that's what we do. That's what we do when we reject God's word and we refuse to learn more about him. Right? If you are resisting being in the Bible on a regular basis, that's what you've done. You've said, you know what? I can figure this out on my own. Let me put this off to the side. Now, here's the challenge. You may be missing pieces to that puzzle and you don't even know it. It will never come together. And God is the only one with the full picture. We help one another, right? As we have discussions with people and you ask people for advice and input, and they help you to piece together more of what is true and what is not. But information is power. Information is power. God is that source of information and truth. But I have to say this. If you are intentionally running from learning God's truth or running from a truth that he has already revealed to you, then this scripture says what? You are not in him. You are not in him. As it says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. You cannot resist truth and live a Christian life. It is impossible for you. That's why it says the truth is not in you, because that person is lying to themselves when they say, God, I love you, I know you, but does not do the things that he commands. There is no way around that. And so when I think about what causes us, right? Because those have some incredibly high implications. Literally, eternal life and death hang on the fact of whether or not we are willing to accept the truth, hold to it, and live it out in our daily lives. It becomes a matter of whether or not we really know Jesus Christ. And so as I thought and as I looked through the scriptures to try to find some reasons that we resist the truth that God has put before us, I realized that many of these things that we're about to say, that we're about to talk about, are very understandable. But none of them supersede our need to be obedient to Jesus, and none of them supersede the fact that we are worse off the longer we hold to them, the longer we hold to these excuses. And I think the first major thing that causes us to resist truth in all of its form is shame. Right? You think about that feeling of shame, what it produces in you, and the conflict that it produces in you. It causes us to avert our eyes from the truth, because sometimes we think that the truth is too difficult to admit or confront. You know, I've spent so much time really just working on my heart and realizing, wow, so many of the decisions that I make on a day-to-day basis are done because I'm trying to avoid shame. You know, I think about even things as I'm talking about like trying to, if you're a singer, you will understand this. The moment someone finds out you are a singer, you get this target on your back that someone will ask you to sing at any moment in time. And so whenever someone asks that of me, the first thing that comes to mind is no. And I have that reaction because I want to avoid shame if things do not live up to the standard that I've set for myself. And we do this in every single aspect of our life. How many chances, how many risks have you failed to take just because you were simply trying to avoid the shame of if it didn't work out? How many times have we resisted the truth because we understand that accepting the truth means that you and I are going to have to change in some way? You cannot confront truth and remain the same. And that can be very, very painful. We want to avoid failure, whether it's a recognition of our past failures, or we wonder if we admit this is true, whether or not we can make the changes that God is calling us to make on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we avoid truth because we know that there is going to be conflict that comes with recognizing the truth. I know there are times for me, I will not want to recognize the truth about a situation because I know the moment I do, I'm going to have a conversation with someone that I do not want to have and be in conflict. And so our people-pleasing nature comes out, and we resist the truth that God has put on our heart. And in doing so, we don't love the people in our lives the way that God has called us to love them. Because if all truth is good, then you are withholding something good from someone that you care about. You know, truth exposes things that we may not like about ourselves. You know, sometimes we even run from truth because we fear what the truth might be. We don't know what the truth is about a situation, but we paint in our mind the worst case scenario. And so we run from it rather than see our fears actualized. When most of the time, right, the truth is nowhere near as scary as we make it out to be. Sometimes we just resist truth because it's different than what we expect, right? As people, oftentimes we hold to the first piece of information we've learned, not the best piece of information we've learned. And that's why it's hard a lot of times if you're visiting with us and you're sitting down to try to learn about God and who He is, right? Sometimes it's easier to take someone who knows nothing and teach them than to try to reteach somebody something that they already know, because they're holding to information that may not be true. And so there are times where there are things that even we believe about God or believe about how someone becomes a Christian that we reject because it's different than what we may have learned at first. But that does not make it false. That doesn't make it false. This one, I think, is probably the hardest of all for people to admit. Sometimes we resist truth because we know we're doing something wrong and we don't want to give it up. Yeah, you've been there. I've been there. It can cause us to want to gloss over things. You know, that pain of confronting the truth. Sometimes we just want to say yes and say, no, I agree with you. Yep, yeah, that is true. Because we want to get it out of the way and move past it without actually taking the time to examine the implications of the truth and how it fits into our lives. And then the very last thing I want to talk about as to why we reject the truth is that sometimes we even reject good truths about ourselves. How many times have you gotten a compliment from someone? Or God has told you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are beautiful, that God has promised you eternal life. And you've said, as soon as someone has said a compliment or said those words to you, you've said, no, that's not really true. That's not true about me. But God is the source of truth, knows what is true. If he says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God has promised you eternal life, then you have eternal life. If God has promised to never forsake you, never to leave you, then he will never forsake you or leave you, because it is impossible for God to lie. And so we run from these things because we feel unworthy. We feel that can't be true about me. But God has made those things just as true as the difficult truths that we run from. You know, I think that the challenge is we forget things like in John 1:14, where it says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. And when we have a healthy understanding of who God is, we accept truth because we know that he will not leave us. That's the thing about who God is. When God says something that is true, when God tries to reveal something in your character, he does it, one, already knowing everything that you are going to do from here out, everything that you have already done, and he knows, guys. God does not offer truth without offering his heart along with it. God's truth, guys, he never shuns you. He never belittles you. When God reveals truth to you, even the hardest truths that you may face, what he is doing is he is inviting you back to him. God's truth always comes with an embrace. And I think that's part of why we fear, right? Because we wonder, and we've had experiences with people where we've messed up and they've shared some truth with us and then they've walked away. Or they've made us to feel like we're in the penalty box and they've shoved us and pushed us. But God is not like that. When he reveals truth to you, he wants to be closer to you. As the source of truth, truth brings you in line, in unity with him on a deeper level. You never need to fear truth. Now, as we get ready to close out our sermon today, I want you to really sit and think for a second. Are you willing to see the truth about yourself? Are you willing to see the truth about who God is? Because I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in, and I'm sure the conversations that have been had with me where if I really sat and thought, nope, you know, I don't know if I'm really open to hearing what you have to say right now. If you're not open to hearing the truth, then, I mean, it's like we're just going to be talking to a brick wall. We'll make great points, but you're not going to hear anything. Walls do not have ears. Walls do not move. And so God is trying to move you in a positive direction. And so if you feel resistance to even admitting that you're to even saying that you're willing to hear the truth that God has for you, why? Why are you wrestling? What is holding you back from accepting the things that God is trying to show you and reveal to you? That's the next hurdle. Are you willing? And if you are willing, what's been holding you back? And then the final thing that we all need to consider is if God has revealed truth to us, what steps are you going to take to embrace that truth? To know that God is good. And I really do believe, guys, how your willingness to embrace truth goes back to your understanding of who God is. If you believe God is good, if you believe that when God shines truth down on us, that it is for your benefit, that it is to bring blessing to your life, you will readily embrace it, no matter how difficult it may be to confront. But if you see God as someone who is harsh, who is cold, who holds back from you and does not want to see good happen in your life, then you will always and continue to run from God's truth. But we are convinced of better things. I am convinced of better things for you. And if you've been resisting the truth so far, if you've been resisting something that God has been calling you to and saying to you, today is the day that you make major decisions. You know, one of the hardest truths that I have had to confront, and I'm going to throw this out there because I am going to need your help. I'm going to need you to ask me about this. Is I had to face a truth that a lot of times when I feel stressed, when I feel worn out, when I worry whether or not I can handle the things that are going on in my life, I medicate through media. Now, it's okay to relax. It's okay to do good things. But I've seen this thing in myself, and I'm like, you know what? If I really want to grow the way that God is calling me to grow, then I feel like I want to take whatever measures necessary to get there. And so I went and I uninstalled every single video game that I have. And those of you that know me know that that is a huge deal. Don't worry, teens, I will still play with you when we are together. But guys, when we believe God is good, when we believe that facing the truth is good for us and helps us, because we know ignorance is not bliss, then we are willing to go to extreme measures to face the truth, to face God, and to shine in that truth every day. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for just even the fact that we can know the truth, that you take the time to teach us the truth, and that we don't have to wander through life trying to figure it out on our own, as so many people do on a daily basis. Thank you that you've revealed the path to us. You are a God who cares. You care so much that you don't want to leave us floundering. You don't want to leave us drowning. And we glorify you because of it. I pray, God, that if during the sermon and as we were reading your word, if things were pricked in the hearts of any of us in here today that show that we are resisting truth, resisting you, that you just knock down those walls, confront what you want us to confront, and grow to be the men and women that you have called us to be, the beacons of truth and hope in this world. Let us always point people back to you. We love you, and we pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.